At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in, everyone. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast alongside, well, via Skype, Matt Humans. I am Tim Murray, and it is good to be back. Happy holidays to everyone. Happy holidays to us, Matt. Nice start to bowl season. Our first best, our bowl bets came home. Let's see, 3-0 for me, 4-1 for you, and Mr. Burke went 2-0-1. The only draw that he had or push that he had was that UL Lafayette plus 7. That unfortunately, that late touchdown got them the push at the plus 7, which closed at plus 5 there. So all in all, I'll say pretty solid start to bowl season, and we'll try to keep it rolling here.
Yeah, you're right about that. The only downside so far has been that SMU performance against BYU, and VSiN, I guess, digital vice president Ben Fox actually had the nerve to come in the studio one day, walk around, and start complaining about how all the experts of VSiN liked SMU in that game. And he bet it and lost. I said, okay, all right. That's the only bowl game loser I'm aware of on the podcast up to this point. And
it is.
Yeah, we're more than a week into bowl season. So I guess people can complain about anything. You can't win them all, Tim, but they expect you to win them all.
Some Matt, we went went three wide in that first bowl. And I know people don't care about what happened in the past. It's all about what you're doing for me lately. But 9-1-1 to start bowl season from yourself, me, and Adam Burke. We'll take it, baby. We'll roll with that.
Yeah, and actually, I was I don't even know if this was part of my record on a podcast, but I was on Middle Tennessee in the Hawaii Bowl. And, Tim, I needed that win. I needed that win for my psychological state because it was a pretty aggravating Christmas Eve in the NFL up to that point. So I really needed that Hawaii Bowl win with Middle Tennessee and a comeback by Middle Tennessee down 14-0 right off the bat.
14-0. I think they got outgained. God, what was it, like 350 to 170? So, yeah, you'll take that cover. So it wasn't on the official plays, but you know what? We'll just add it right there. Beautiful.
Oh, that's okay.
But all right, let's we'll roll through. This is going to be a shorter podcast. By the way, if anyone missed it, Matt and I taped a show right before Christmas where we talked about the playoff, the New Year's Six, and a couple other bowl games. If you missed it, it is in your feed. You want to go back It's not much dated. We didn't talk about any games before Christmas, so if you want to go back and take a listen to that. Today, Matt and I are going to run through bowl games December 27th up into the Orange Bowl on December 30th. So about 14, 15 bowl games. And I'll be honest, Matt, we'll kind of rifle through the December 27th games real quick. I don't have a bet on any of the four games. We have the Camellia Bowl, Georgia Southern right now laying 4 against Buffalo, Utah State and Memphis in the First Responder Bowl, Memphis laying 7.5, East Carolina's laying 7 against Coastal Carolina in the Birmingham Bowl, and then the Lord knows what's going to go on bowl, a.k.a. the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Oklahoma State and Wisconsin right now sitting, Wisconsin laying 3.5. So starting from the early part of the day, anything of note in either of the Camellia Bowl or First Responder Bowl that you want to let the good people know about?
No, I actually have nothing on those two games, but I will talk about the Birmingham Bowl and yeah. Guaranteed Rate Bowl if you want to do that.
Yeah, let's do it. By the way, yeah, Coastal Carolina catching 7. The expectation is that Grayson McCall will play. Of course, his head coach is off to Liberty. Other pieces for Coastal have opted out. I believe their starting center, Willie Lampkin, who's a pretty solid piece. He is headed into the transfer portal. So a number of 7. What do you see in this one, Matt?
Well, there's a lot to see in this game and a lot of unknowns, too. After Jamie Chadwell left for Liberty in early December, and Chadwell did a great job with the Chanticleers, 31-6 record in the past 3 seasons. Tim Beck, the former North Carolina State offensive coordinator, is the hire. I'm not sure that was a good hire.
Yeah.
But Chadwell's exit came a week before Grayson McCall announced that he was going to enter the transfer portal. It was assumed that McCall was not going to play in this bowl, Tim. So Coastal Carolina soared as high as a 14-point underdog at Circus Sports in this game. The line's all the way down to 7 at this point. And I think it's obvious McCall is going to play. He completed 69% of his passes, 24 touchdowns, 2 interceptions this season. He's going to be one of the hottest quarterbacks on the open market in the transfer portal. But the Chanticleers were also blown out by Troy 45-26 in the Sun Belt title game. The more I looked into this, I think it's safer to look over the total, but also because you got 2 struggling defenses. And the quarterbacks are each capable of putting a lot of points on the board. The problem with this is the total has moved from 58.5 to 64. So you're not even close to getting the best of it at this point. But if I had to play the game at this point, I would play it over 64.
So one thing that I would keep in mind and let people know about is, you know, last year we certainly had the last second cancellations of bowl games. East Carolina got to bowl eligibility for the first time in the Mike Houston era last year. They were scheduled to play Boston College in the Military Bowl, and that game got canceled due to COVID. So this is their first bowl game in the Mike Houston era. They haven't been to a bowl game since January of 2015. So I do think, you know, you talk about motivation. I think there's going to be plenty of motivation on the East Carolina side. The worry I have in this spot, laying a number like this, I mean, down the stretch, they lost by 39 at home to Houston. They, you know, squeaked one out against Temple. So I don't have a lot of trust in this ECU team. And I'll be honest, Matt, it feels like ECU is one of those teams I just can't figure out, because I remember betting against them on I think it was like a Thursday or Friday night. They went out to Provo. I thought it was a completely letdown spot after they had beaten UCF. That's ECU. And they went out and took care of business as a road dog and beat BYU that night. And Keaton Mitchell, that's a guy, if you want to watch this game, if you're wondering, all right, why should I watch this game? Keaton Mitchell is, I think he's an NFL back at some point, and he's really talented. So I don't really have much interest to lay the 7, but I think the point that you bring up, you know, Coastal Carolina got absolutely waxed by Troy. And I just, how healthy is Grayson McCall going to be, you know, in this game? He didn't look healthy, you know, in the Sun Belt Championship, We'll see if he's fully healthy for this game. And, you know, he's been visiting different schools. Mm-hmm. I know he wants to send, you know, end his Coastal Carolina career on a high note. But, I mean, how motivated is he going to be to play this game? He doesn't want to get injured. He wants to go start his career in the SEC or wherever he's going to ultimately land.
Way too many question marks. And motivational angle when you're looking at Coastal Carolina, I can't play that side in this game. And East Carolina is a better team. If you look back at that three-game win streak against Memphis, UCF, and BYU, that was pretty impressive. And keep 22 yards and three touchdowns against Temple. But again, the Pirates 42-3 loss to Houston raises some red flags here. Like I said, I lean East Carolina. I lean over. But what are leans worth if you're not going to back it up with money? That's just what I would do if I bet the game. I do not have a bet on this game.
Yeah, I don't have a bet one either, but I can't be on Coastal Carolina, certainly in this spot. Late night, Tuesday the 27th, our colleague Stormy Bonatoni, she'll be on the sidelines for this one. Wisconsin at Oklahoma State, and good luck, Stormy, because your list of opt-outs and transfer portals and who's coaching is plentiful. Oklahoma State will be without their starting quarterback, Spencer Sanders. Dominic Richardson, one of their top running backs, he will be out. We don't know who's going to play quarterback for this Oklahoma State team that limped to the finish line. And on the other side, who's going to play for Wisconsin? Graham Mertz is out. I don't know how big of a loss that is. I mean, the list is just so long. It will be the final game for Jim Leonard as a member of the Wisconsin staff. I know there's some Wisconsin players who are not thrilled about Jim Leonard not getting the full-time job. Luke Fickell ultimately gets it. So Wisconsin's been trying to figure things out in the new era. And, oh, by the way, you've got to wrap up the old guard, so to speak, too. So, you know, you're looking at a total of 43 that has come down. I think it was as high as, I want to say, 48 at some point here, Matt. I think DraftKings, I'm looking, open this thing at 48.5. So, steam to the under, which makes sense with the quarterback uncertainty. That would probably be the only way I would look. I don't know how you can lay points in this spot. I guess the angle you could say is that Wisconsin wants to send Jim Leonard out a winner.
I'm not going to say that. And if Wisconsin wanted to send Jim Leonard out a winner, it could have beat Minnesota in the final game in Madison. And that was a pathetic performance by Wisconsin, really pathetic. And what a few people are talking about here is Wisconsin's without its best two defensive players. Nick Herbig, outside linebacker, and nose tackle Keanu Benton are not going to play in the bowl to prepare for the draft. Those two guys combined for 15.5 sacks and 25.5 tackles for a loss. And I think that's those are going to be big losses for the Badgers here. I think Chase Wolf is going to be the starting quarterback. Is that what you see, Tim?
Yeah.
For Wisconsin? And Wolf is okay. I wouldn't say there's a drop-off from Graham Mertz because I don't have much respect for Graham Mertz as a quarterback. I don't think that's a big drop-off. I'm not really sure. Now, Oklahoma State's one of those teams you just feel like you never want to bet on because Mike Gundy doesn't seem to have his act together. And that program looks like a mess right now. But I can't lay 3.5 with Wisconsin. This number's up from 3 to 3.5. Where's the offense going to come from? I can certainly see why the total has dropped from 48.5 to 43. And if I bet this game, I would probably still play it under 43, Tim. I have not bet it yet, so I don't want to put out a play. But that's what I'm looking at here is under 43 would be the only play I could make.
Yeah, I agree. That would be the only play I would make as well. So December 27th, as of right now, no plays on the pod. We head to December 28th, Matt, and this is where I actually do have a play. We talked about this when you and I met before Christmas, and we taped that special that we played on VSiN on Christmas Day. I like Duke here. Now, I played them early in bowl season, got them at a much cheaper money line price, minus 125. As we're recording on a early Monday morning, money came into the market and some hooks started to show up here on the Blue Devils. This has been a number that's just been on the consistent rise for Duke. Duke opened at DraftKings back on December 5th as a 2.5-point underdog, and they're now a 3.5-point favorite. The reason is, I mean, one team's probably excited to beat there and another team's not. Central Florida was a win away from going to the Cotton Bowl and playing USC. Instead, they're going to the Military Bowl, playing in a conference rival's home and playing Duke. John Reese Plumlee's been banged up consistently all year long. Their backup quarterback, Mikey Keene, has already announced he's headed to Fresno State. That means Thomas Castellanos, who we saw a little bit step in during the AAC Championship, would be on the other side. Devontae Brown, Travion Shadrick Harris, Jeremiah Jean-Baptiste, all these guys have hit the transfer portal. So they are losing three starters in the transfer portal. Ryan O'Keefe, who is the team's leading receiver, announced he's going to Boston College. Their offensive coordinator took the job at UNC when Phil Longo left to go to Wisconsin. So I really question the motivation from Central Florida here against Duke. Duke, pretty much everyone's going to play, Matt, in this spot. It's year one for Mike Elko. So I'm going to ride with the Blue Devils. For official play purposes, I think I said on, the last pod, minus 150 on Duke. I still see like a minus 155 out there, probably the way I would roll. Or you could lay the three. I just feel more comfortable laying a little cheaper money line price. But I like Duke in this spot. I think they're going to be the clearly more motivated team. And I think Central Florida is just going to have a lot to be desired, especially with John Reese Plumlee continuing to be banged up, it feels like, each every week.
Tim, I could echo a lot of what you said there. And I agree with all of your analysis. And Duke is my play in this game. This is going to be one of the plays. Official plays I'll use today. I bet Duke at -3, and I'm going to roll with it. And to save us some time, I'll say listen to Tim's analysis, because that's the same thing I was going to say.
So, all right, let's get to the Liberty Bowl. Sometimes this is played on New Year's Eve. It's played on December 28th this year. I won't say it's a completely similar situation, but some similarities, I would say, from the game we just discussed, because Kansas is in a bowl game for the first time in, I think, 13 years. It's been quite some time for the Jayhawks since they've been to a bowl game. They're catching three. Now, Kansas, obviously down the stretch, Matt, did not play all that well. They got their sixth win and then limped to the finish line. But this is a team that has not been to a bowl game since the Mark Mangino era. And they are now playing in the Liberty Bowl, taking on Arkansas. So this is their first bowl since the 2008 Insight Bowl, when Kansas beat Minnesota 42-21. Arkansas got good news that KJ Jefferson would be coming back, Matt, but Jordan Hazelwood has opted out as he's headed to the pros. They've got another Trey Knox is in the transfer portal. Miles Slusher, I think he quit the team. Bumper Pool, Drew Sanders, both have opted out. So a lot of pieces are missing there for Arkansas. No play yet on this one for me, but it would be dog or pass for me.
It's dog for me. So a lot of what you said about Duke, Mike Elko and his team being motivated for that bowl game, I agree, and I think Kansas got all the motivation here. Elko's in his first season at Duke. Lance Leipold's in his second at Kansas, but it's the same situation. The Jayhawks got to be fired up to play in the Liberty Bowl, and I got to wonder if Arkansas even wants to be there. So, yeah, you could say that the SEC teams still got more skill position talent and all that, but I think motivation is far more important in this type of situation. And I like Kansas catching the three, and I think Kansas wins the game. Lance Leipold's going to have his team ready to play, and that's the way I'm going to look here. Let's go with the dog. You said dog or pass, I'll go with the dog.
All right. You might have convinced me. I might have to jump in on Kansas. Let's go to a game that you're going to be attending, Matt, the Holiday Bowl, where the number is now as high as 15, at least at Circa Sports at time of record. It's UNC against Oregon. For North Carolina, who will be out? That, of course, is not Drake May. However, Josh Downs, their best wide receiver, he is out due to an opt-out. Caleb Hood was banged up all year. Storm Duck has hit the transfer portal. So a lot of pieces are leaving North Carolina. They have lost their offensive coordinator, Phil Longo. He is off to Wisconsin in this one. The offensive coordinator for Oregon is also gone. Kenny Dillingham has taken the Arizona State head coaching position, Matt. Bo Nix announced he's coming back, so he'll be playing in this game. A big old number, not something I know that you're excited to lay under most circumstances. Will you have a bet in pocket in the game you're witnessing?
I do not as of right now, which is disappointing, but maybe I'll have one by the time the game kicks off Wednesday at Petco Park in San Diego, which is, Tim, I know you were hoping that Notre Dame was going to be in this bowl
game. Me too, yep.
You were gonna come down to this game as well. That didn't work out for us, but hopefully the game just gets played, unlike last year when the bowl game got canceled about 3 or 4 hours before kickoff because of COVID. That was going to be UCLA and North Carolina State. So I think there's a lot of interesting angles here. By the way, I think Kenny Dillingham was a great hire by Arizona State. So I expect him to do some good things in Tempe. Drake May is going to be without some of his top playmakers. And this total of 73 is a little bit too high for me to play over, even though I know a couple of sharp bettors who I respect on college football still like this over. The total of 73, and that's a big number. I guess you're not planning on seeing much defense in this game at all if you're going to bet over that with some of the playmakers gone from the Tar Heels side. But, Tim, on Friday night's show, Chris the Bear Felica joined me, and we were talking a little bit about this game, and he said he's tempted to lay the points here with the Ducks, who definitely have more hands on deck for this game. You know, it's 14.5 across the board. 15 is circa the only number that's a little bit different I see right now. But I think you're a little bit late to the party if you like Oregon in this game, because once it crossed that 14, I can't play it. So that's my problem. The total's a little bit too high, and the side's a little bit too high to lay the points with the Ducks. But I can't find enough positives to take the points with North Carolina. So as of right now, it's a pass for me. Which way do you lean on this game?
The number's gotten too far. I can't bet North Carolina here. They're inept defensively. No offensive coordinator. Best playmaker's gone. But I can't lay that type of number in this spot. I do have interest in this next game. And I took 3.5. It got to 4, so I missed the best number. But it's back down at 3.5. I like the dog in the Houston Bowl, or excuse me, the Texas Bowl in Houston. Texas Tech and Mississippi. Ole Miss gets off to the great start to the year. They're a run-heavy team. I just, you know, once again, backing a first-year head coach, Texas Tech ended the year on a really high note. They beat Oklahoma. I saw that, you know, they sold out their ticket allotment in like matter of minutes. So the juice is certainly going to be on the Red Raiders here. And I know you liked Ole Miss just based off of the schedule and how it played out, but you look at how they finished the season, Matt. They lost their last three games. I always have curiosity about SEC teams. So far in bowl season, they're 0-2, both straight up and against the spread. You know, they're going to a game in Texas. They're taking on Texas Tech. I think this is a spot, in my opinion, to back the dog. I like Texas Tech here. Joey McGuire in his first year. You look at how they finished the season with wins, you know, over Kansas, Iowa State, and then they beat Oklahoma in overtime. So I'm going to take the 3.5 here with Texas Tech.
I don't disagree. I think it's dog or pass, but I'm not there yet on the dog. If Ole Miss shows up and is not motivated to play in this bowl, there's no doubt Texas Tech's going to be the right side. So I'm thinking about that play, but I'm not there yet.
All right, let's get to the 29th. We'll run through these quickly here. Anything on the Pinstripe Bowl? It has been a host of opt-outs for Syracuse. Sean Tucker is out. Robert Anai, their offensive coordinator, is gone. Their defensive coordinator is gone as well for Syracuse. So a lot of pieces missing there for the Cuse as they go up against Minnesota.
Yeah, looked like it was going to be a pretty good bowl game. You had two of the nation's top running backs set for a showdown here at Yankee Stadium, but only one is going to play, and that's why Minnesota's double-digit favorite in here. Muhammad Ibrahim is going to be on the field for the Gophers, six-year senior, 94 rushing yards, 19 touchdowns, second in the nation, 144 rushing yards per game. So Sean Tucker is going to sit out on the Syracuse side, and that's an Orange team that started 6-0 and lost 5 of 6 down the stretch. Now Minnesota, went the other direction. The Gophers won 4 of their final 5, And they got a couple big time performances in that stretch. I'm going to say Ethan Kalaikamanis, the quarterback who scored and passed for 319 yards and two touchdowns in that week. I went out at Wisconsin. And he looked good in that game. And previous to that, I thought he looked like a hopeless passer, but he looked like a different quarterback in the game at Madison. And Ibrahim rushed for 263 yards in the loss to Iowa. If you can run for 260 against Iowa, that's impressive. So even though Kalaikamanis is young and inconsistent, I think the Gophers have enough here with Ibrahim and their defense to possibly dominate this game. Minnesota ranks fourth in the nation in scoring defense, 13.3 points per game, allowed 16 points or fewer in 9 of 12 games. And without Sean Tucker, I think Garrett Schrader is going to be hard-pressed to kind of carry this offense. So I think the Gophers are probably too strong on both sides of the ball. Minnesota coach P.J. Fleck is one of those guys who's a master motivator who gets his team up for bowl games. He's 3-0 in bowls. Even though, Tim, you know, I hate to play big favorites. There was a 9 out there as of a few days ago. I laid 9 with Minnesota, but for the record here, that's gone. So let's go half unit Minnesota minus 10 and a half unit under the total of 42.5. I'll split the play up because I think it's going to be an ugly offensive performance for Syracuse. Circus still got 42.5, so let's go a half unit on the favorite and a half on the under.
All right. Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I think it could be, you know, a 28 type of 3 type of game. Dino Babers maybe will kick a field goal late in the game like he did a la Yankee Stadium against Notre Dame a couple years ago. Oklahoma-Florida State, Matt, number that keeps on rising. Florida State, another team that maybe is moving in the right direction, play terrific down the stretch. Jordan Travis is back. Anything in Florida State and Oklahoma in the Cheez-It Bowl on December 29th?
Yeah, it's interesting here because Oklahoma's been hit hard by personnel losses since the end of the season. They do have two significant positives here. Dylan Gabriel and his top wideout Marvin Mims are going to play in the bowl. Gabriel's a transfer from UCF, had 24 TD passes this season. 449 and 6 TDs in that 51-48 loss at Texas Tech in the regular season finale. That was a wild game. He had a 77-yard TD pass to Mims. So I think Oklahoma can find some ways to create some offense with those two guys. But again, the Florida State pass defense ranks third in the nation, allows 159 yards per game. This is not a soft Big 12 pass defense. And Florida State got some good news. Defensive end Jared Verse, safety Jamie Robinson, two highly regarded NFL prospects, both committed to stay and play in the bowl game. Florida State takes a 5-game win streak and a hot offense into the postseason. I think Jordan Travis actually had a pretty good year, Tim. 22 TD passes, 4 picks. Led that offense to 43.6 points per game in the last 5. He's going to get some big play production here from Johnny Wilson, the wide receiver, Trey Benson, the running back. I think the honeymoon is definitely over for Brent Venables. It would be nice if he could pull the upset here because his offseason is going to be miserable. And I think he's going to set Dylan Gabriel loose and let it fly. And Oklahoma is going to try to bank on its offense to win a high-scoring game. But you have so many defections on the Oklahoma side that I would say 15 players have entered the transfer portal and 4 more left for the draft. I don't think Oklahoma can hang in this game. So I'm going to go Florida State here, minus 9.5, and I'm going to leave the total alone for now, but I think Florida State minus 9.5 is the right side.
All right, final one we'll hit on. We'll do December 30th a little bit later on this week. Final game on the 29th. Both you and I have a play on this one. We'll roll through this quickly because I know we hit it on the previous episode. Washington and Texas, excited for this bowl game, late on December 29th. I took the points with Washington. It's still 3.5. I'll still roll with the Huskies here on the official play. Michael Penix playing in his first ever bowl game. He's coming back next year. We know Bijan Robinson, the other running back Johnson, is out for this game. So a lot of pieces missing. Quinn Ewers is going to play. Overshown, the linebacker for Texas, is out. So A lot of pieces missing for Texas. I think it's going to be a great game, and I'm just going to take the points. I think Texas probably will be motivated, but I'm going to roll with Washington here, Matt, in this one.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. What is the motivation for Texas here, Tim? What is it?
I don't know. Year two? Year one for Quinn Ewers?
I guess with Quinn Ewers, the motivation is going to be to hold off Arch Manning at some point. This is, I think, the first bowl play I made, or first one I put out, or one of the first two, Washington plus six. Michael Penix, when he said he's back in, that's a big deal for Washington. And I expected Bijan Robinson to opt out the entire time. And it's not just Robinson who opted out. Like you said, senior running back Roschon Johnson's out too. So your top two running backs are out, both those guys. Roschon Johnson's probably a top 10 running back. When you stack up the NFL draft prospects, Overshown, best player on defense. I like Kalen DeBoer. I know you do too.
Yep.
You got to respect the guy who went 10-2 in his first year here in Seattle, and he took over an offense that averaged 21.5 points last year and raised it all the way to 40.8 this season. And in that regular season finale against Washington State, Penix passed for 485 yards. Washington had 703 yards of offense. I don't think the Huskies are bad on defense. Quinn Ewers is probably going to move the ball here and make this game interesting. Obviously, the location advantage is with the Longhorns playing this game in San Antonio. But I'm definitely sticking with Washington as a play here.
All right, Matt. Appreciate it as always, sir. And we will catch up with you as the bowl season goes on.
Okay, you bet. Good luck, Tim.
There he is, Matt Eumanns. Real quickly, Matt Eumanns plays here. Duke minus three, Kansas plus three. Splitting a unit, Minnesota minus 10, under 42.5 in the Pinstripe Bowl. Florida State minus 9.5 and Washington plus 3.5. I'm rolling with Duke minus three, Texas Tech plus 3.5, Washington plus 3.5. All right, that's going to do it. We'll be back later this week with another VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Turns out a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My car really needs a wash.
The $20 Meguiar's bundle includes gold-class car wash for a showroom shine.
Get in zone.
And what about my tires?
Just spray the included hot shine tire coating and you're all set.
Get in zone.
The inside is not great.
No problem. The quick interior detailer in the bundle can help with that too.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.